Radio Prague News.
President Miloš Zeman will appoint Karla Šlechtová Regional Development Minister next Wednesday. The Czech Ministry for Regional Development has reduced the deficit in drawing of EU subsidies in 2014, and the Czech Foreign Ministry has expressed regret over conflicting reports regarding the situation of ethnic Czechs in Ukraine. President Miloš Zeman will appoint Karla Šlechtová Regional Development Minister next Wednesday. Šlechtová, who was in charge of the Department for Drawing of EU Subsidies at the Regional Development Ministry, confirmed the news after an hour-long meeting with the President on Friday. Her nomination by Andrej Babiš's ANO party earlier this week was welcomed by the party's coalition partners, the Social Democrats and the Christian Democrats, who described her as a professional. The Czech Ministry for Regional Development has reduced the deficit in drawing of EU subsidies in 2014 by 3 billion crowns. As a result, the Czech Republic will lose less than 20 billion crowns in 2014, outgoing Regional Development Minister Věra Jourová told journalists on Friday. Drawing of EU funds has been a serious problem, and Mrs. Jourová vowed to improve on the country's performance in this field when taking office. She is now resigning in connection with her nomination for EU Commissioner. The Czech nominee for EU Commissioner for Justice, Consumer Rights and Gender Issues, Věra Jourová, who failed to convince two EU committees to recommend her appointment at this week's hearing in the European Parliament, has confirmed receiving additional questions from the respective committees. Ms. Jourová told journalists in Prague that she had been given until Sunday to provide detailed answers to several dozen questions and would have no problem meeting the set deadline. She said she expects a decision regarding her appointment next Tuesday. The Czech Foreign Ministry has expressed regret over conflicting reports regarding the situation of ethnic Czechs in Ukraine. In a statement on its webpage, the ministry said it was in constant contact with the Czech expat community in the country, was monitoring its needs, and was ready to provide assistance where needed. The statement came shortly after the Office of the President reported having received a request for repatriation from 70 ethnic Czech families with an appeal to President Zeman to assist their case. A similar request was reportedly made by 40 families in March of this year. On a recent visit to Ukraine, Foreign Minister Lubomír Zaorálek dismissed claims that so many families wanted to relocate. He said, moreover, that the ethnic Czechs were in no apparent danger and could use existing channels to repatriate if they wished to do so. The president is expected to address the matter at a press briefing on Monday. Trust in Czech public institutions is growing, with the most trusted public institution currently being that of the Office of the President, according to the polling agency STEM. Trust in President Zeman has increased from 51% in February to 64% in September, the agency reports. The government enjoys the trust of close to 50% of Czechs, and trust in the Chamber of Deputies is up from 46% to 52%. The Senate, which traditionally ranks bottom of the list, has also seen a slight improvement, with trust in it now at 40%. Pardubice University has counted the cost of last Tuesday's hoax bomb threat, putting the damage at 2 million crowns. The premises were evacuated for a full day and the university was closed to both students and staff. Construction work underway on its premises also had to be halted. This does not include the cost of an extensive police operation and measures such as redirecting traffic away from the street where the university is located. The police are now questioning students and staff to try and trace the caller. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. The coming days should be sunny to partly cloudy, with day temperatures between 15 and 19 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarová, and that's the end of the news.
This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Jan Bellinger. Coming up in today's program: the government moves to protect the Czech food market against cheap imports diverted to the country due to Russia's embargo on food products. And we'll have the very latest in business news. Also, a little later in the program, we'll be talking to the founder of a new mini-festival celebrating the legacy of a lost but not forgotten theater. The government has moved to protect the Czech food market against cheap imports diverted to the country due to Russia's embargo on food products from the EU. Importers are now required to report some types of incoming food products to 2 days before their arrival and inform the authorities of their estimated retail price. But some in the food industry are questioning the effectiveness of the measure. Jan Richter has the details.
Russia's retaliatory embargo on food imports from EU countries is likely to cost Czech food producers between 250 and 300 million crowns, according to estimates by the country's agriculture ministry. The ministry also believes that food from other EU member states diverted to the Czech market because of the sanctions is costing domestic producers up to 1.5 billion crowns. Some cheap food originally destined for Russia has already been put on sale in the Czech Republic. On Thursday, the news agency Četeka reported that Polish cabbage was sold in the northeastern city of Ostrava at prices far below the national average. In order to protect the market against such cheap food imports, the government has ordered importers to report all incoming animal food products and some types of fruit and vegetables to the authorities 2 days before their arrival. These include apples and pears, as well as potatoes, cabbage, tomatoes and onion. The new rules, which come into force on Friday, also require importers to notify the authorities of the expected retail prices of the imports. The Czech Federation of the Food and Drink Industries welcomes the move, says its executive director Miroslav Koberna.
This allows the authorities to react to suspicious imports. They will know if someone is importing unexpected quantities of products at dumping prices. So this creates no trade barriers, as some have claimed. It's simply a monitoring tool.
However, Agriculture Minister Marian Jurečka warned that if the authorities conclude that some foreign products are indeed sold at dumping prices, they will ban the imports of that type of food. The rules have come under criticism from importers as well as some in the food industry. For instance, the authorities' ability to identify what is and what is not a dumping price has been questioned. Others have expressed concern that the new rules go against the principles of the EU's free market. Marta Nováková is the head of the Czech Confederation of Commerce and Tourism.
As part of the EU single market, the Czech Republic can only monitor imports from countries outside the European Union. I think the issue of food imports should be primarily dealt with on the EU level. We should focus on trying to export food to markets outside the European Union rather than creating such barriers at the national markets of individual EU member states.
The Agriculture Ministry is also planning to support domestic producers with a campaign promoting homegrown food. The campaign is set to start in mid-October and should cost around 50 million crowns.
My thanks to Jan Richter there, and, well, Jan stays with us in the studio now for the very latest in business news.
The board of the Czech National Bank confirmed on Thursday that all signs, including a more rapid growth in wages, points to the continued improvement or strengthening of the Czech economy. The news agency Četeka cited the bank as agreeing that forex interventions introduced last year, seeing the Czech currency remain at around 27 crowns to the euro, were well chosen. According to the records of Thursday's meeting, these are to remain in place until 2016. While the economy was largely stable domestically, the bank noted that it was not the case when it came to exports, where there was greater discrepancy.
The Czech Trade Inspection Authority has handed the second-hand car giant AAA's daughter company Mototechna Group a 2.5 million crown fine for alleged misleading business practices, reports the Czech daily MF Dnes. The authority criticized the company for charging dual prices for secondary services, charging customers paying in cash less than those who had opted for loans. The company defended the practice by saying it was internal policy and not up to the inspection authority to regulate. AAA's daughter company was also criticized for allegedly failing to provide proper warranty information or even to state clearly the final asking price or who the vehicle seller was. The decision is not binding and will be appealed by the firm.
A new poll commissioned by the Environment Ministry and conducted by the Median Agency suggests that there has been a slight increase among Czechs buying bio or organic food products. According to the survey, 4 out of 10 Czechs buy organic food occasionally, but the percentage sold remains negligible, in total less than 1% of the overall market. The main reason cited was most often the price. The number of those aware of biofoods, meanwhile, increased from 92 to 99% since 2008. The number of families who buy bioproducts rose from 37 to 41%.
The Mladá Boleslav-based carmaker Škoda Auto will launch the next generation of its flagship luxury sedan, the Superb, next March. Head designer Josef Kabayn said this week at the Paris Motor Show. The new Superb will be unveiled in Geneva. In Paris, meanwhile, the company presented its new line of Škoda Fabias, which are sportier in appearance than the previous model. Mr. Kabayn described the combi as more elegant and the hatchback as more nervous in appearance. The Fabia is Škoda's second best-selling car after the Octavia.
And the Business Daily E15 reported on Friday that the star football goaltender Petr Čech is entering the world of competitive cycling, albeit as a businessman, not a competitor. According to the Daily, the keeper is buying the company CSMTB Team, a firm with 40 million crowns in revenues annually. The company was founded in 1994 and specializes in sports marketing and company races. It also runs a mountain bike racing series called Kolo pro život, or Bike for Life. The company's owners, Roman Čermák and Tomáš Hikl, declined to comment, but will hold a press event on Monday where they will make an official announcement.
Jan Richter with that edition of the Business News. And a reminder, you're listening to Radio Prague, the English language service of Czech radio, where it's now time for the arts. In recent years, the Czech Republic, and Prague specifically, have seen an increase in street performance or street theatre. And this Saturday, visitors can see troupes perform in the city centre in Vkocík Street. That's just a stone's throw away from Můstek, a central meeting point, of course, for both locals and tourists. Performances, which will contain a measure of black humor, will, to a degree, also harken back to the medieval period, and there will be a show for children. The normally quiet street used to be home to the stone theater Divadlo Vkocík, which is no longer standing. I asked the event's founder and main organizer, Filip-Jan Zvolský, to tell me more about the theater's legacy.
It was important same way like another theater, because in the history of Czech theater there are many theater buildings, theater troops and so on. All of them are necessary. And theater Vkocík, Divadlo Vkocík, is necessary mainly because it was first stone and mortar theater in Prague. It was 1731. Most of performances was in German. There was probably first, on a stone theater, first play in Czech. It was Kníže Honzik. It wasn't exactly original Czech. It was just a translation, but it was necessary that there was first Czech language. But there was a little bit humorous that either it was in Czech. It was played by German actors, so it was a little bit humorous for people, but I think that it was good that it was in Czech, and it maybe it start first Czech language theater in Prague.
There's a good reason to remember it there, as he suggests, although I read at the time that the actors were booed a little bit because, as he said, they were Germans, and they kind of butchered the Czech language. Their Czech wasn't perfect, so they were whistled at, as is the custom here. At least that's what I read.
On that time, Czech spectators was able to say actors go away. Today they just sitting and then maybe say okay, nothing interesting, but go home. But nobody now say to actors no more. It's a little bit problem for today's theater, I think, because I know that in French, spectators, if they like it, they make big audience. If they don't like it, they say it and go away and woo and so on.
So the reason that you tied the mini festival to this theater is symbolic, then, from what you're saying. It has a symbolic importance.
One reason is symbolical, because when I see name of street, Vkocík, same name like was the name of this theater. Every time when I go here, I'm looking around and saying, okay, so here, somewhere here it was, because it was in a building of something like a medieval supermarket. It was in part of it. Now this building is not there, on exactly on the place where was theater is today, bank, big building of bank. Street Skotzich is another part of this big market. But one reason is that every time I have this remembering of this theater, and second reason is because every time when I go to the street, it's really quiet street with night atmosphere. It's without cars, without neon, without anything like today's city, and I think that it might be nice like theater. Something a little bit like medieval theater, because it will be street theater to this street.
Did it take a long time? Was it difficult to choose different troops who were interested in taking part?
The main reason why exactly this five troops comes is that they have time. Because I ask more theater groups, and most of them tell me, okay, we want to play there, but we haven't got time. We have another playing in another places. For example, the same day is big festival, also theater festival in Prague, in Bohnice, Meziploty. So it's problem that not everybody who want to play on this theater festival have time. These five, they have time. And I am very, very happy that it was one of the best which I asked.
Tell me a little bit about the troops that are taking part and what are the performances that we'll be able to see.
First group will be Divadlo Fiegel. It's my long-time friend who play also in my theater. He has his own theater with his wife, and they are playing mainly theater for children, fairy tales. So I asked them to bring some fairy tales to this festival, because I want this festival to be for people of all ages. So for children, we have prepared this performance of African fairy tales. Second will be my group, Divadlo Apropo, together with the Museum of Alchemy and Magicians in Prague. We're making a life laboratory. It's about alchemists in time of Rudolf II. We make some chemical experiments, but more theater than chemical. The third group will be, for me, top of this festival. It will be Divadlo bez strechy, means something like theater without roof. And they are, like their name, they are usually playing on street, and it's one of the best street theater in the Czech Republic. They are from Ostrava, and they will play a nice Commedia del Morte. It will be a play with the black humor. It will be about medieval torture, but really, really nice humor. I see it twice, maybe three times. Every time I like this performance. Third will be short dancing theater about Czech tradition that we like alcohol, and it's about making alcohol from plums, and it will be interactive because people can say, I want make from these plums alcohol, or I want make jam. And the last thing will be pantomime. I like people who play it, and it's really good mimes from Prague, so Mime Prague will make this performance, which is exactly also prepared for street. So it will be these five performances which are prepared for our audience.
Well, that sounds wonderful. And I, just to come back to that one performance, I think it'll be quite a difficult question for some to answer whether to go with jam or plum brandy, or as it's known here, Slivovica. I think some people might have trouble deciding. In some ways, it seems like a shame to me that it's just a one-day event. Do you have any plans to make it longer if everything goes successfully?
I hope so, that in the future it will be longer festival. I have also idea that it might next year, maybe in 2 years, 3 years, we will see that we can invite more authors which will make a new plays exactly for this festival, that we can make new short theater plays. And I hope that in future it will be a whole day or 2 days festival, but it depends mainly on a foundation or some money, because this year we are founded by Prague One. Of this grant, we have grant from Prague One. Not so much. Exactly enough for this small festival, but for longer we will need more money, and this time is not exactly the best time to ask people for money for culture.
It does mean, however, that the event is free for visitors, so that's an important aspect.
Yes, Because it's on street, it's not exactly possible ask people, okay, if you won't go the street, you must pay because we make here theater. It's not possible. So in it's normal for street theater that it's free for people.
Tell me a little bit, what do you think it is about street theater that is so appealing? I mean, there are obviously different aspects. What do you think is, say, its major appeal?
I think that the main for street theater is that it's exactly in this moment, right on the street, that you can go through city and suddenly see, oh, over there in that corner is something. I go there and suddenly you don't plan that you will go to theater, but theater comes to you. And then it's interactive. You can be connected by actors, because usually in theater it's two parts of theater, audience and stage, and nothing between. But street theater is usually combining that it's broke borders between actors and spectators, and I hope that it will be also here. And it's nice that it's without any technical things. You don't need light, you don't need some sound
effects.
Yeah, it's really like in medieval time, with nice atmosphere, and it's open, and I hope that it will more open your soul to theater and to culture.
That was Filip Jan Zvolsky, the founder and main organizer of the Gewadlovkotsi Mini Festival, taking place this Saturday. And if you're around town in the city center, it's well worth checking out, I think. So it could be fun. So thanks again for that interview. And that takes us just about to the end of today's program. A quick reminder, if you have any comments on today's show or questions for us here at Radio Prague, write to us at english@radio.cz. Also, follow us on the internet, radio.cz is our website, and you can follow us on Twitter or Facebook. But that's it. We're out of time. Thanks so much for joining us, and take care.